This has been a good year. It has been a year of growth as a pastor, as a person. Usually by this time, a person starts reflecting on what they want to be different about next year. And here's what I would tell you. You can think about it all day long, but until you do it, it will never become a reality. Sometimes our problem is all we ever do is think about it, and that's nothing else. Y'all go with me to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 12. I want to set the scenes for you. A lot of the New Testament was written by Paul. The book of Philippians is actually a letter that he wrote to the Philippian people. There was a congregation in Philippi, and he wrote them a letter. And that's something that you don't see people do very often anymore, is just sit down and write a good old-fashioned letter. And that's why communication is becoming such a weird thing in our society, is because we want to type everything out and it has no meaning. I ask you to live a life full of meaning. Don't conform to what this world is becoming, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here is Paul. He is in prison. He is in chains. For simply preaching the gospel. I do jail ministry. Here's what I can tell you. Most of the people that I minister to, they done something to get up in there. Don't sugarcoat reality. Be able to own your life. Here's Paul. He is in prison to no fault of his own, and the only thing that he did was preach the gospel, and that's what he was in there for. And he wrote a letter. And you know, I have been raised in church. Parish Christian Center was founded in 1987. And I'm going to be honest with you, most of my life I thought the Bible was extremely boring and irrelevant. And several years ago, I asked God, Lord, make the Bible come alive when I open it up. God will honor those type of prayers. So we're going to go line upon line, precept upon precept this morning, because you can hang on every single word that's in the Word of God. And here is Paul. And he starts out his letter and he says, now. Now. Right here, while he's in jail, that is his now. He decides he wants to write a letter and to minister when he's in jail. Now, a lot of people in this modern day would have blamed God for all of their problems and been like, that's the last thing I'm going to do, is write about how great God is and how everything has just been great when here I am in jail. And here's the thing with people. If you can stop living out of how you feel, you will be very successful. But the average person makes more of their decisions out of an emotion than an actual move and ordination of God. Amen. People make decisions all the time, and they're dumb decisions because God did not ordain those decisions in their life. You really want yourself to be messed up? Listen to yourself for the next 10 decisions and don't include God in them. You're going to be one messed up person. Amen? So here is Paul, and he is saying, now. Here's what I want to ask you this morning. Where are you now? See, some of you may have came in here in your own chains, your own stuff, your own mess. What do you do now? What do you do now? See, the Word of God is so instant to us because He says, now today is the day of salvation. Today. See, we have a tendency to live outside of the present. Oh, we want to worry about tomorrow. We want to plan next week. We want to live in what we did 10 years ago that we hope to God nobody ever finds out about. See, we always want to live somewhere besides where we're at right there in that moment. And God wants you to slow it down and be right there in that moment so you can be who exactly you're supposed to be. You can't be who you're supposed to be living 10 years from now or 10 years ago. You got to think about where you are right now. And I tell you, church, I tell you to sober up and to live in the now. Some of us been licking our wounds. Oh, woe is me. Let me tell you something. In case you haven't got the memo, the Word of God says in this life, you are going to have trials. You are going to have tribulation. I hate those moments where we have the trials. I want it to be all mountaintop view. It is never that. And we do our very best growing in the valley. And thank God we serve a merciful, loving God. He does not leave us there. But He will capitalize on every moment of our life. I'm going to ask you to live in the here and in the now. Where are you today? Where are you today? Some of you are sitting there saying, well, next year I want to be better at this. Baby, today. I don't care if it is the 28th of December. That's just an excuse. You want something to change about your life? Today is the greatest day for that to happen. Oh, I'm going to be better a Christian in January. No, you won't. Because you're still putting it off. So here's Paul, and he's saying, now. See, Moni, he carves out that word, now. He could have just left it off. But he tells him, now. Where are you right now? If you're in chains today, are you still serving God? Are you still loving God? Would you write a letter and you tell people about how good God is? Could you do that? Do you get mad at God every time something don't go just your way or something comes up wrong? Where are you? Where are you? And then he says, now, I want you to know. The word want is a desire. He desired us to know what he was fixing to say. Right now, there are some things that I want you to know. You know, one of the greatest tools in your walk of salvation, one of the greatest tools in witnessing for the Lord is transparency. Transparency. Paul was good about that. And you should be too. Now, I want you to know. What do you want people to know about you? When you're going through the worst season of your life, what are people going to know about you? What would be said? We got a dude in prison. I want you to know. One of your greatest weapons in your life that you can use to fight the devil off is your willingness to be completely transparent with yourself, first of all, with God, and in your walk of faith. Now, the devil wants to get Christians, and he wants to put a piece of duct tape on your mouth. He don't want you talking about what God did for you. The devil will take things that you did in your past, and when you wake up, they're the first thing that you think about, even if they were 10 years ago. The devil wants to keep you in a place of shame and in a place of guilt, in a place of depression, in a place of anxiety, in a place of stress, in a place of fear, in a place of I'm not good enough. But see, if you can be transparent with yourself, God can come in and say, you know what? You may feel like that, but you are not that. How much of our feelings are getting into the way of what actually is reality? Well, Pastor Kelly, I don't feel like you like me. Well, you're going to have to get over your feelings. Half the time, I don't like myself. Stop making decisions on your feelings. Make them on the facts that's defined for you in the Word of God. That will not steer you wrong. I want you to know, what do you really want to be known? You are all preaching your own message, whether you like that or not. And on your worst days, I want to inform you, you have your very biggest congregation. And they are watching, and they are observing. And the people that you love, they're trying to see, can they see God in you? And here we see a man, and here he is in prison. He says, now I want you to know. The devil wants to shut you up. That's what he'd like to do to you. How does he shut you up? In a multitude of ways. How can I speak about depression? Because I fight it off all the time. You don't think I want to stay down and be depressed and feel sorry for myself? Yes, I do. I want to sit on the couch and eat Little Debbie's and just eat the problems away. And somehow they're still there for me when I come down from the sugar high. Amen, Leslie? But here he is, and he says, now I want you to know. I want you to think about what you want people to know. One of Satan's greatest tools is to get you to be quiet. To get you to operate out of shame and to get you to operate out of guilt. See, a lot of guilty feeling people, they won't say nothing because they feel like they're so guilty, nothing they say matters. And I want to tell you, whatever it is that God done brought you out of, that matters. And who does it matter to? Well, first of all, it matters for you. It matters for your family. But it also matters to a younger version of yourself. It matters to the person that you're supposed to witness to, that you can try to help them avoid what you've been through. See, your testimony matters. It matters. The trial of your faith, it matters. You know how many Christians ask God, Lord, am I really making a difference? Yes, you are. Every day that you choose to be on this planet and have that breath in your lungs, see, God gave you the breath. It matters. And you matter. Don't let the devil shut you up. I also encourage you to be the same person that you are on Sunday every other day of the week. I'm going to say that again. I didn't get enough amens on that. That should be a congregation-wide ordeal. I'm asking you, church, please, for the love of God, be the same person Monday through Saturday that you are on Sunday.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Why? Because you got less people watching you up in here. You know how many times I want to get straight up gangster with people? Me and Brother Larry Kennedy was in the Manna Center the other day. He was standing there by me. And literally, Brother Larry, come here. this guy used to hold me when I was a baby. He is one of the sweetest men ever. Me and Brother Larry, we were standing there, and we was at a food giveaway. And this lady popped something off. And I looked at Brother Larry, and I said, I'm going to have to shut my mouth. And I can't stand when I have to do that. And I searched my heart in every way, Jeff, possible, where it would be appropriate for me to say something. And I was like, God, you're not letting me say it, are you? Nope. Oh. I looked at Brother Larry. Brother Larry, maybe he could say it for me. That didn't really happen either. But I said, I'm going to have to just shut my mouth. And I didn't like it. But I'm going to tell you something. God takes a note, thank you, Brother Larry, of every single time you operate the way he wants you to. He'll take a note of that. And he will also take a note of every time you don't. All those moments where you say God will understand, yes, he will. He will. He'll understand that you just stepped out of his will for a moment. And you have too many moments of those, you're going to end up places where you never thought that you would go. And I'm going to remind you that sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It'll make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. It'll make you stay longer than you ever thought about staying. You keep compromising because, see, the Word of God tells us that it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. What does that really mean? The little compromises that the believer makes over and over and over. And somehow we keep on making them. And all of a sudden we end up in a place we don't know who we are. We don't know what we stand for. We're far away from God. We're blaming God. God, how did I get here? Well, you know, anytime you got to ask yourself that question, you need to go and you need to look in the mirror and you need to say, I am how I got here. And stop blaming your mama. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming the pastor. I get accused of more things, Joe, than I actually do. And that is hard to take if you're an Italian 40-year-old woman. There's things that go on when you turn 40 that I won't even speak about just for the sake of people that ain't got to that point in your life. But certain things become more difficult. And shutting your mouth is sometimes one of them. Amen. Now, the devil wants to get you in a place where you're still feeling bad about some things that done went on. Church, look at me. You're going to have to move past that. You got to get over it. You got to move past it because it is holding you back. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16, this is also a letter that Brother Paul wrote. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And here is Paul. Now, the gospel is also interchanged with, Carson, we're at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Thank you, son. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel can be interchanged for the words, the good news. Amen. There's times where you see in your Bible, just depending on the translation that you're in, where it refers to the gospel as the good news. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of it. See, the devil wants to keep you in shame, in fear, in stress, in worry about things you can't change. About the things that you cannot change. I'm going to say it one more time. The devil wants to keep you in places mentally, spiritually, about circumstances and things that you cannot change. What you say, well, what can I do, Pastor Kelly? You literally have to turn them over and give them to God. And you have to love them, love God, and say, God, I trust you with them. I'm not going to take them back. Give those things to Him. And then take your hands off of them. But here is Paul, and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of it. Shame needs to leave your life. Shame needs to leave your life. God had to do a work on me in the year 2022 with shame, because it's not easy being a female pastor in the South. And it's also not easy being a female divorced pastor in the South. And I had a period of time where there would be all these things that all the other pastors would go do, and I would just not go. Because, Joe, there was a shame that wasn't even anybody else's thing but mine. It wasn't even a reality. And I would say, I don't even want to be around people. I just felt really bad about myself. And see, that's what the devil will do to you. He'll get tragedies in your life, and he'll use them and he'll pervert them in your life to make you feel like you're less than, to make you feel like you can't do what you were called to do. Let me tell you something. There's not one life situation that the devil can create in your life that takes you out of your calling. See, God has your calling, and he doesn't repent about it. The calling of God, it comes without repentance. What does that mean? It's not going away, and he's not sorry that he called you to do it. And he's going to use you whether you feel qualified to do that or not. So you best stop listening to your feelings and go with the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life that says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See, you're not going off of you. Somebody needs to hear that. You're not going off of you. If we were, we'd all be in trouble. And thank God we're going off of Him. And everything about our God is supernatural. Ain't nobody like God. Nobody. And here he is. He says, I am not ashamed of the good news. One of the things that I think is the most amazing thing about a person that will just speak about things that they've been through is it's just their testimony, just their speaking about it sets other people free. And you say, well, why does it do that? Because there's a freedom that comes out of your mouth, and it lets people know a few things. Number one, somebody else has been through this besides me, because there's the devil and he wants to make you feel like you're the only one that's ever been through what you're going through. Number two, somebody else has gone through it before and God brought them through it. Amen. And that there is hope for them. Now, Brother Sam, come on up here. Were you trying to snooze?
But on that last one, I should have amen. My brain was in the
I want you guys to all know that he has got it going on today. He's got the same shoes, his color as his shirt.
Amen.
Every pastor needs a Brother Sam.
Yes, amen.
On some of my worst days, well, on my worst day, Brother Sam stood right here and he just had my back.
Amen.
And that meant more to me than I think anything that you could have ever done. It just meant a lot. But Brother Sam, take about 3 minutes. Tell us what God took you out of. Tell us how you was a bum, an alcoholic, a drug addict.
I used to sleep under a bridge in Chicago. I used to steal fruit from a store. One time a guy got mad because I was stealing a watermelon or something, and then he started chasing me, and he really didn't want me taking his fruit, but I was just trying to get a little snack. But, you know, I went from that to coming to Arkansas because I heard God say, go to Arkansas, Sam. Go to Arkansas. If you go to Arkansas, and I had every excuse, oh, I love this girl. Me and the girl were broke up. I love this girl. I got to stay. If you don't go to Arkansas, you're going to go to jail or you're going to wind up dead. So I said, how do I need to get to Arkansas, God? Because God was talking to me. I was sitting watching Christian TV, drinking a beer, but God was talking to me, telling me to come to Arkansas. When I came to Arkansas, it took me a day or so, and I went to church and gave him my life. But on the way here, I was telling my daughter Misty last night, on the way here, I was trying to drink, and I was trying to, like, still sober, take care of my problems the numb way, the world way, the feeling way. And I heard the devil telling me, you could never serve God. People will think you're crazy. You know, I took another drink of whatever I was drinking. I said, look, I got nothing to lose. People already think I'm crazy. You know, that word didn't work. And all I know is I got saved and I got born again. And I went to that altar and I cried out to God and he cleansed me. And a few weeks later, I was up there getting baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I have every time I tell that story, I get high from God because I remember just like, because I was thinking that, man, the devil told me, you've gone too far. You've gone too far. God won't hear your prayers. You've sinned too much. You crossed the line. But when I bowed my knee down to God, he started picking me up from there. And I don't know, I met Brother Angelo, and I've never been hungry since I met Brother Angelo. He used to take me, and he'd see me eat a hamburger in 1.2 seconds, and he'd say, man, order this dude another hamburger. Now I take people out to eat, man, and if I see them hungry, I tell them the same thing that he told me. But I just took what God puts in me, and I told Sister Misty last night, if God tells you to give somebody a ride home that's got a baby and he's telling you that, you're going to be all right. If God tells you to buy somebody some groceries that's behind you, you're going to be all right. As long as you just hear what God's got for your life. And, you know, here's another lie of the devil. You can't do nothing for God. When I prayed this sinner's prayer, I said, God, here's my life. I don't know what you would want with this life. I've got nothing, God. I came here with the clothes on my back, God, to live with my mother, my sister, in a low-rent apartment. She kicked her son, Walter, out of his room so I could have his room. But after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I went in that room and I wrote up a lot of things I wanted to do for God. One of them was go back to Chicago and speak to people that I got drugs with. God, everything on that list, every person on that list got saved. Everything on that list, I was back preaching a funeral to 200 people in a Catholic church because the priest didn't show up. And you know, God will take your life, and it will make it so much better.
Amen. Amen. Brother Sam, how many years have you been free from drugs and alcohol?
Since 1992 in February, right around Valentine's Day, I was on a Greyhound bus coming here. 1992, I think that same year, I came to this church in the fall. I went to a little Assembly of God church. It's a Pentecostal church now. It's right down the street from where I live. Whenever I'm doing a video, I talk about the church I got saved at. It's Faith Pentecostal or Lighthouse Tabernacle or something. And I call that pastor's name out. But it's been like this is my 33rd year being free from drugs and alcohol.
One thing I've never seen Sam do is be ashamed to tell everybody he was a bum eating out of the trash cans. And out of everybody in the church, I think Sam has witnessed to more people that have come inside of the church and gotten saved than probably anybody else in the church. Am I trying to compare you? No. I'm trying to get you to understand that what you have to say is important. It's important that you're not ashamed of what you've been through. That gives people hope, and it grows people's faith. What you have to say can give people hope, and it can give them faith. You can kill people with what you have to say, or you can heal people with what you have to say, but you cannot do both. How do you want to live? What do you want your life to be? What do you have to say right now? Right now. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop being ashamed of yesterday. Stop thinking of all the things you pray to God nobody ever finds out about you. Look here. Here's the deal. Been in the people business a long time. For every thought that you think that somebody's going to think something negative about you and you pray to God they don't ever find out about, every person has their own set of things in their little suitcase that they pray to God nobody ever finds out about. Every single person. And the ones that look the most normal and the most put together, a lot of times they have the biggest suitcases. What does that say? Just keep it real. Keep it real with yourself. Keep it real with the Lord. Keep it real with others. Keep it real with others. I've had little girls at the jail ask me about things. Why a pastor would say this, this, and this. And you know what I said, Christy? And this is not the politically correct thing to say. But I said, well, sounds to me like that pastor was an idiot. Because, see, one of the worst things you can do as a pastor is start telling people they're going to hell every other sentence. If people are on their way to hell, let me tell you something, they already know. What they need you to do is say something positive to say, hey, you can stop and you can make it to heaven. And guess what? Ain't nobody trying to control your life. You get to make that choice. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news. See, wherever God took you out of, be happy about that. Let that part of your story shine. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Verse 17 is very important. For in the gospel, for in the good news, for in salvation, a righteousness from God is revealed. A lot of people say, well, I don't know what God wants from me. You know what? Get yourself pointed in the right direction. Start loving God more than you've ever loved Him. Start putting Him first. Start acknowledging Him in places where you never acknowledged Him before. And God's going to reveal what's going to be a righteous thing for you in every moment, in every decision, in every season of your life. He's looking to show you what is the most righteous thing for you to do in every scenario. Go with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why is it important for you to just be at peace with what God has done in your life and what He's done for your life? Because when people hear you speak, you can either set them forward or you can set them backwards. When people hear you speak, you can either set them forward or you can set them backwards. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. We're going to go back to Paul in chains. For all you clock watchers, yes, we're getting out at 12. I care. I know people. I used to sit there and watch the clock. I used to be like, oh my gosh, when is Daddy going to wrap this service up? I was the worst kid in the church. Hallelujah. See what God can do? I used to get more whippings in that office than I'd like to admit to. People come here all stressed out about their kids. Look here, I get it. You got an option. You're going to raise them in God's house or you're going to let them be a heathen, and that's going to be your fault. And you can't blame that on mama. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, and here is one of the most beautiful things that I think that Paul said, that what has happened to me, everybody has their own story about what has happened to them. It's the tragedy. It's the chaos. It's the hurt. It's the family dysfunction. It's the divorce. It's the bankruptcy. It's the whatever it has been in your life. But everybody, under the sound of my voice, you all have something, and you say, this is something that's happened to me. And I want to get you to shift your thinking. And it's going to not be an easy thing for you to do. But if you can start making yourself shift, where does the shift need to be? Cece, it didn't happen to me. It happened for me. It happened for me. I may not have liked it. It may have broke my heart. It may have shattered me into a million pieces. But it happened for me. See, you can either be a victim for the rest of your life, or you can be a victorious person, but you can't be both. You notice, it's very easy to spot out a victim because they make themselves the victim in every scenario. Who do you really want to be going into 2026? Is everything just still happening to you and you're the poor old sow that it just keeps on happening to? Joe, when things happen to me, here's what I say. God, you allowed that. You allowed it. And God, you would not allow something if it were not for my good. So God, as much as I don't like it, God, thank you, because I'm going to receive it, because Lord, you know more than anybody else, including myself, what I need. So God, everything I don't like about this, I'm going to trust you with it. God, it didn't happen to me. Lord, it happened for me. God, if you allowed it to happen, I'm going to accept that. We want to play these games with God like, well, if God's really God, then why did he let that happen? Well, you need to read your Bible a little bit more about God and figure that out. Read it just a little bit longer. Last place for me this morning. Nope, I didn't finish that. That what has really happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. It advanced Christ. Cece, has things in your life, has it advanced the Lord? Can you use the bad thing in your life, the chains that you're in, will you let God use those to advance the gospel in your life? Will you stop looking at everything and saying, Lord, that didn't happen to me, it happened for me. God, I'm here at your feet. I'm here. God, I'm not going to question you. God, I'm not going to be mad at you. God, I'm going to trust you. Mark chapter 16. I want you to meditate on these three verses this week. Go into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel, to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. See, there's things that are following you. If you are a walking, talking child of God, there's things following you. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Y'all stand to your feet. I want you to think long and hard this week about where the changes need to happen in your life. And if there's still shame that you're living under, if the devil's tried to steal what you have to say, I'm going to encourage you to allow God to spread the good news through you, for you, in every way concerning you. Your life matters. When you get to feeling like everything is redundant, and I understand it can feel that way, just say, God, fill me up. You are a blessed people. God loves you. Your pastor loves you. I believe that this coming year is going to be a year of some completion. I really feel that. I believe that there's some things that some of y'all have gone through for too long. And God's saying, I want to, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Do you receive it? Amen. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for these beautiful people. God, I ask that you bless them. Lord, I ask that you would keep them. God, I ask that you would make your face to shine upon them. And God, I ask that you would give them peace right now in Jesus' name. Every place where peace isn't, God, I speak a peace to those places in Jesus' name. Amen. We have got some